on this ever more beleaguered and besieged planet of ours, it seems like it's beginning now to show obvious signs of disintegration, economically, politically, certainly culturally, socially. It's just showing. It's showing. You can see the rough edges. You can begin to see major fractures in the superstructure. This is going to get to be real bad. And I'm sorry to say it. I'm not a negative person. But I hope all of you listening have made plans and have some food, at least something, put away for you, yourself, your family. I know many of you worry about that. Not all of us are financially able to go out and buy things we'd like, but we've had time. There's no excusing that. We've known for some time that this is coming, and it's getting to be closer all the time. There's one thing we're going to talk about first here, but let's first bring the other half of this team on. And welcome back, kid. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. Doing good. All things considered.
All things considered. Yes, your heart is still beating. I see. Okay.
Right.
Well, all things considered, that's saying a lot for some people. It's not a good situation out there. I think what we're looking at here is a plan that was at least two decades in the making, if not four or five. It really came into sharp focus 2 years ago when this thing started to roll out. We know what's going on. And all of you listening, if you've been with us, you know what's going on, basically. That we're back to the beginning. And one of the first videos I played, maybe even the first one, was with Dr. Chetty from South Africa, the Indian-born South African physician. Indian nationality. I'm not sure if he was born there or not, but he said without question that the spike protein was the most deadly evil thing, I'm paraphrasing, that humankind, had ever created. And we started with spike, and to this day, right now, I will be happy to tell you, in my opinion, we are still standing on spike. It is the most horrific, diabolical, demonic agent of mass murder that this planet has ever seen. This biological weapon, owned by the Department of Defense, apparently commissioned by the Department of Defense, and perhaps DARPA was involved there, is killing people around the clock with no mercy, no hesitation whatsoever. This biological weapon is so damned sophisticated, clever, and spread out that there's nothing that I can imagine that would ever be able to stop it. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't an antidote out there. I think there probably is. And the CCP has mentioned that they do have one. Fine. I don't know that we're going to come up with it here in the alt community looking at this horror unfold. We're seeing more and more alleged protocols to follow to cleanse yourself of this or cleanse yourself of that or clear this particular thing or get that spike protein out of there. No. Nothing is going to work like a true antidote might work. But there are some good supplements to take. NAC, turmeric, there are several. We've mentioned them many, many times. So we're still, I think, standing firmly on the thesis that the spike protein in and of itself is unstoppable at this point in time.
It seems so. It's now endemic in the population thanks to this injection that 70%, maybe 80% of the population has taken. And they are now producing it within themselves and spreading it in the environment.
They're sharing it all the time. And it is being shed. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And it is not graphene oxide. Don't buy into that stuff. We made that real clear. We put up, in fact, on the archive, the right side, you can find the German study, which was extraordinary in its length and breadth, and they proved it quite clearly. These people coming out now and saying there is no such thing as a spike protein, it's some kind of a AI biological parasite. And it just goes on and on. There's no end to the bullshit that these people are throwing. And it sticks to the walls in many cases. The people don't know what to believe. They just don't. And I don't blame them. It's very difficult. It's a jungle. And when this is being so masterfully administered by the deep state, dark state, it makes it even doubly tough to try to come up with a logical way to approach it. For most people, it's hard, very hard.
Well, I would say that they are doing the same thing with this graphene oxide nanoparasite nonsense that the mainstream media did with the COVID scamdemic. They every time you turn on the TV, there it is, over and over and over again, same message. And I think that because that's the prominent message, people just, you know, automatically believe that it must be true.
It's unfortunate, but you're 100% correct. We have a couple of really good videos to play this hour. We're going to read some more human stories of tragedy. They're not going away. They are getting worse. So here's something that Erica found. I'm not going to name the author, but it's just a statement. And I'm going to read this. Do you want to read this? It's fine with me, whatever you want to do.
Oh, you go. I don't have it handy.
Okay. It is necessary to share the truth about the embalmer's findings to demystify and dispel the fears vaxxed persons feel when they see these long white tissue scaffolds in the deceased. The vaxxed are very fearful that stuff is growing inside them. But when they learn what it is, then it becomes less scary. They need the truth. These are artificial tissue scaffolds intentionally being used to clog the arteries and kill people. Once this tech is achieved, the self-replication is very rapid. All kinds of payloads are released, and it becomes a race against time to save people. But once you here's the kicker, but once you rescue the immune system, the human body will for sure break this down and expel it. Now that is called a word salad. There was nothing in there that said of any substance whatsoever, nothing of truth. It was noise that I made, but someone put these words down. It's just another example, and we read it to show you how the disinformation campaign is being waged against you. That I could read that 10 times and ask any one of you within 2 minutes to repeat any of it. You couldn't. That's how the information overload works. It's just too much. And this is just crap. There's nothing in here. You have any comment on this?
Yeah, well, it's representative of many of these, I would call them just garden variety hucksters right now, because they're not taking the time to read the science, understand the science before they start spewing these pronouncements and
pontificating cures.
Misleading people.
Absolutely. It's despicable. Truly.
Okay. You know, this is not really, you know, first of all, there's a name for these things. It's not scaffolding. It's called an amyloid clot or an amyloid deposit.
No, it's scaffolding now. Sorry. I'm going to bring you up to date.
And the immune system is not what's going to take care of it. This is not an immune system issue. This is a protein homeostasis regulation issue. And once these things form, there's nothing in the body that can break them down. Nothing.
Okay.
I mean,
there are. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be misled. Even in the laboratory, they have to use very, very harsh acids to break them down, like formic acid. And even then, you know, it's marginally effective. So anyone that's telling you that your body's going to take care of these things once they form doesn't know what they're talking about.
Or worse. I don't have much time for these people anymore. Time has passed. Too many are dying. And once you got that shot, that spike protein begins to be manufactured in your body. And we know now that at least 18 months out, apparently, and maybe forever for the rest of the abnormal lifetime of the afflicted, they're going to be producing spike. And the spike will lead to the production of amyloid microclots and then amyloid major clots and then prion brain disease formations. You're done. It's just a question of time. How much time do you have? 2 years? 3 years? Some people who are getting cancer have 30 days. They're gone.
Yeah, there's more and more of those.
Interferon's gone. P53 is gone. And other, the glial, what is it, the blastoma, the
RB.
Other one?
Retinoblastoma. No, that one has not been mentioned.
But okay.
Yeah, the immune system is very deranged and weakened, just fatigued, exhausted.
It's so tired, you're tired. That's one way to look at it.
You know, there's all kinds of metabolic issues with this, the transfection, the fact that your many cells in your body are now permanently producing it, if not, you know, chronically, then intermittently, which I suppose is just as bad.
I would say. And there's really no time out. It just keeps going. The mRNA does its thing, and it keeps going. And we still don't know if there might not be built in to that mRNA some kind of self-replication. We don't know.
Well, there's that possibility, but it also appears as though, I would say these people that are still testing positive for spike protein in their white blood cells at 18 months, that looks to me like that mRNA or the virus was reverse transcribed into their genome, just like HIV.
Right. It is now part of their, excuse the expression, terrain. How was that? Cute? Whatever happened to that terrain, that asinine terrain thing? God.
Someone, yeah, I guess it was exposed that it was, in fact, a PSYOP.
This is what I read.
Yeah.
I saw that the other day. We're talking about there is no such thing as a virus PSYOP. So it looks like that may have been exposed, and if so, then we can expect to see little, if anything, else of it. All right. We've got a really good video here. It's not too long. It's 8 minutes. And the doctor is Paul Merrick. You want to set this up?
Yeah, Dr. Paul Merrick, he was the co-founder of the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance with Pierre Corey, and they are renowned for their efforts to promote early treatment, some of which entails ivermectin and HCQ, but they've expanded on that as time has gone on. They've got some very effective protocols for dealing with both the viral infection and also vaccine injury now. Particularly Paul Merrick is devoting a lot of his time to that. He retired in January of this year from his teaching position at, Eastern Virginia Medical School, I think. Anyway, yeah, so he knows his stuff. I believe he's a pulmonologist.
No, we could also say, it's nice, and I'm really happy about this. He knows our stuff, too. He's very much speaking along the same lines that we try to present to you. And I think a lot of this will be very familiar to you and very helpful and reinforcing. So, all right. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right, Freddie. Here we go.
The spike protein is probably one of the most toxic proteins the human body has ever seen. It seems, though, and we have really good data from a number of groups, so firstly from Pfizer's own data, and then there have been two independent surveys looking at vaccine injured, both in the U.S. and in Germany. And over 80% of the adverse events are neurological, so which is what makes this such a devastating disease. So these people...
Okay, quick aside. The neurology of the human body, of course, is the hook upon which everything hangs. And this spike protein loves to go into, inhabit, and just destroy and shred your neurology.
Right. Yep.
Back to Dr. Merritt.
Very neurotoxic. Very neurotoxic. People forget that.
Yeah.
Neurologically impaired. The commonest is overwhelming severe fatigue and tiredness. Then brain fog. So it interferes with the ability to think clearly, to do cognitive tasks, to function normally as a human being. So it's these overwhelming fatigue, overwhelming tiredness, brain fog, and then they get what's called a peripheral neuropathy, in which they develop antibodies against the nerve fibers. So they get terrible shooting pains, paresthesias, numbness in their legs, terrible pain, burning pains, and which can be enormously disabling. And that seems to be pretty common. And then obviously we have the myocarditis. They can't hide that. So, you know, we know this particularly affects young men who seem for whatever reason to be particularly vulnerable to developing myocarditis. And then there are a whole host of other diseases. Patients get severe ringing in their ears called tinnitus. They get visual problems. They get problems with walking and ambulation. So it's a spectrum. In fact, there are over 2,000 published peer-reviewed papers describing different medical conditions associated with the vaccine.
That is stunning. 2,000 papers describing different medical conditions. How many symptoms are there? Apparently with this thing, there are a whole lot. And the issue is, again, of a weapon that is so incredibly intricate in its ability to go into the body and start a cascade of any number of things that will ultimately end in death. And sometimes ultimately is not that long. Like after you get the shot, walking to your car in the parking lot? Yes, that's happened more than once.
Unfortunately, the most serious are the neurological, which, you know, interfere with people's ability to work, to function normally, to ambulate. So these are really serious complications.
So from what I've heard, some of these symptoms of long COVID, as it's called, are also brain fog and fatigue and so forth. So there's an overlap. And then, of course, there's this potential interactive effect where people that are vaccinated are now more likely to become, you know, to get COVID. So it could be a double whammy. I don't know if this is something you've observed, or is there a way to measure it? Or
absolutely. You're absolutely correct. So it's basically related to the load of spike protein you have. The more spike protein you have, the greater your risk of complications, organ failure, and death. So how do you get more spike? The more you're vaccinated, the more spike. But obviously, if you get COVID and you're already vaccinated, you get spike some more. So basically, the bottom line is don't get vaccinated, and avoid getting COVID if you're vaccinated. And if you are vaccinated, if you do get COVID, to be treated early. Because the reasons for early treatment is that if you treat early, you limit the load of spike protein. Mm-hmm. So it's the spike protein, the load of spike protein, that determines the complications. So you're right. You know, there was this misinformation.
Let me pause there again. And he didn't mention shedding by name, but the implication was certainly there. You do not want to take on any more spike protein than you absolutely have to. And we've always felt that there might be, this was Erica's thesis, a threshold that you under which you can function. But once you meet that threshold, and we don't know, theoretically the spike is not supposed to be replicating all over your body, but being produced in your body. But the bottom line of what he just said is critically important. We need to mention shedding, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's plenty of people that are unvaxxed who have been exposed to vaxxed people that are experiencing these same symptoms, neurological symptoms, blood clotting.
Clots in the brain, yeah?
It can be very serious. Rashes.
Zoster, herpes.
Immune suppression, I would say.
There's all kinds of things. It's an amazing smorgasbord of symptomology.
And that if you had long COVID, you should be vaccinated. But that's the worst thing to do because it further increases your load of spike protein. So if you have long COVID, you absolutely want to avoid being vaccinated.
Okay, this is fascinating. Explain to me the body of evidence that exists that shows it's the load of spike protein that's responsible for all of this disease.
Okay, so, you know, what does spike protein do to the body? So it does a number of horrendous things. The one thing is it's profoundly pro-inflammatory. So it's taken up by what's called phagocytic cells, and these are cells in the brain, cells in the heart, cells throughout the body, and it causes profound inflammation. It's taken up by the cells lining the blood vessels. So, you know, Dr. Cole, who is a really outstanding pathologist who's going to be at our conference, has obviously done pathology specimens. And what he finds is if you look at the endothelial cells, and these are the cells lining the blood vessel, they're absolutely packed with spike protein. Packed. The cells are packed with spike protein. So this idea that the spike stays in the arm is false. The spike circulates, and it goes to the professional, what they call professional phagocytic cells, so, you know, the microglia cells in the brain, and it causes inflammation. It goes to the endothelial cells, and it does some really bad things to the endothelium. So the endothelium lines blood vessels. So what does it do? It causes the blood vessels to constrict, and it causes clotting. So it interferes with blood flow. And when interfere with blood flow, you have what's called infarction. It kills the tissue which the blood vessels supply. So we know that people who have been exposed to spike have microinfarcts in their brain if we do high-sensitive MRI. So, you know, that's one of the mechanisms. The other is that, believe it or not, they manufactured spike to have both two foreign proteins. One is an amyloid protein, and the other is a prion protein.
See, so prions said, are... You know, this is important. They manufactured spike to have. They manufactured spike to have both amyloid proteins and prion proteins. This is a synthetic biological weapon of death. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. I mean, he's not even questioning whether this thing came out of a cave or a wet market. No, this is a lab construct.
Yeah, right. Okay.
At cow disease, they added...
I'm going to back this up just a drop. Hold on.
The amyloid protein, and the other is a prion protein. So prions are, you know, mad cow disease. They added, when they designed this vaccine, they added a prion to the receptor binding domain of the spike protein. And they did that because it then binds more avidly to the ACE2 receptor. Mm. So people who get the vaccine are at much higher risk of getting prion disease, which is mad cow disease. And indeed, there have been many cases of mad cow disease being described. As I said, it has amyloid protein. So what we know about these clots that form is that these are very mysterious clots because they're very fibrinous, they're very resistant to breakdown, and they have amyloid. And this is likely from the amyloid within the spike protein. So that's one mechanism. The other, which is very common in the vaccine injured, is what's called autoimmunity. So some of the domains in the spike protein look very much like the host's antigens. So it's called molecular mimicry. So what happens is when the host mounts an immune response against the spike, at the same time it causes antibodies directed against the host's own tissues. So the host is attacking itself. So you can see that this is a complete onslaught. You have the spike causing inflammation, the spike causing clotting, the spike causing amyloid and prion disease, and you have the spike causing all of this autoimmune disease. So it's a total onslaught from every angle. And that's just the beginning of what spike does. And it seems the more spike you have, the more inflammation you have. So I think that the data is, you know, the pathologist never lies because they can see the tissue. And, you know, I've seen the slides that Dr. Cole shows. And it's astonishing to see the spike protein. It's just packing the endothelial cells, which means it affects the blood vessels. We also know, and this is frightening data from Dr. Patterson, who's looked at circulating white cells. He's found 18 months after long COVID or vaccination, circulating white cells still have spike protein within the cell. 18 months.
Okay, that's the end of that little video. It will be available for you to look at and share. It's in Guests right now. Look under our names. It'll be on the right-hand side in the archive as well. Very nicely stated, perfectly stated. And he did say at the end, and that is just the beginning of what the spike protein does.
Right.
He didn't even touch 5% of it.
No.
It goes on and on and on. So you don't want this in your body. And you don't want to be around people who are shedding it. And that's really a tough thing to say. And we've talked about it last program about the holidays coming up. Are you going to allow people into your home to sit at your table, relatives, friends, companions, whatever, who have an opposite vax status as you do? You got a real difficult choice to make. In my view, it's not difficult at all, but for a lot of people, it certainly is. I don't pretend to understand how family mechanics work, but it's a very tough position to be in. But you must draw the line if you want to minimize your chances of becoming infested with this spike protein. And if you happen to pick up mRNA at the same time you're picking up spike, which you might, the mRNA will go into your body, go into a cell, and begin to order the manufacture of spike.
Yeah, that's a risk too. And, you know, they're talking about this triple pandemic now, this COVID along with the flu, influenza, and RSV.
Yeah.
That's out there too. So I don't know what this holiday season is going to look like. You know, people went through this last year, so this is not their first rodeo with this situation. And I think probably by now many families are already polarized. They've already set up their policies as to how they're going to interact with relatives if they're still interacting with them.
Right. The only good thing I could say, it's not going to be much of a bonus for anybody, but you've got Zoom and you've got online video capabilities, and you just have to respect the choice that people have made. Now, a lot of them have made that choice to get those shots under duress. We know that. After having been intimidated, lied to, conned, we know that. Having been frightened into it, we know that. This thing, which we've been telling you for almost coming on 2 years soon, is to be avoided at all costs.
It is a potentially lethal protein.
It is not a vaccine. It has nothing to do with vaccinations. It is a biological weapon designed to do only one thing, and that is to kill people and cull the herd.
Yep. I can't see any other way to look at it.
I wish I could, and I'm not a scientist. You're the scientist. I'm just appalled at everything I see and everything I learn. Okay, here's 2 minutes with Dr. Naomi Wolf about Little Rochelle, the CDC director, Little Rochelle Walensky, who Dr. Wolf says is responsible for mass murder, which she is. Hold on, we got a commercial here, I think. All right.
Credit, the guy who got the original Pfizer documents released under court order, he filed another lawsuit on behalf of Dell Bigtree, and the VSafe database got released in the last few days. And it's big, big news. This is Rochelle Walensky's database. This is what she's criminally liable for. So this is absolutely shocking, and it confirms, again, independently what Ed Dowd and his data sets have been showing you, which is disabilities and injuries of Americans at an industrial scale that you cannot even imagine. And I can't stress enough, Steve, this is the government database of what happens when you get injected with these vaccines. This is Rochelle Walensky's custody database. So it shows 700,000 plus doctor visits, 6.4 million health impacts, over 2 million serious adverse events, serious side effects. And this is adverse events like I can't work, I can't engage in my normal activities, I'm disabled. So these are injuries of Americans at a massive scale. And remember, this is what Ed Dowd showed you when he said that there's a huge jump in the rate of disability claims per his data sets, which were insurance industry data sets, and the people who are being harmed are working age Americans. So this independent VSafe data set confirms that in absolutely horrific detail. Millions of Americans severely injured to the point of not being able to work, having to see their doctors, going to the emergency room subsequent to the injections. This is not random. It's what happened after you got vaccinated. And Rochelle Walensky didn't just know, she was in charge of it, and she kept, this is why I say it's mass murder at a massive scale. She knew, and she kept saying safe and effective. She knew, and she kept saying no serious side effects. Maybe you'll feel tired, maybe you'll get a headache. She knew that millions of Americans were going to the emergency room seeing their doctors, too disabled to work. You know, hundreds of thousands having serious adverse events. She knew it.
She certainly did. Little Rochelle. All right. Death comes in many packages.
This is, okay. Yeah, it's epic. Epic.
Yeah. All right, where do we go to next?
Do you want to do these readers?
Sure. Sure. Again, I just want to remind you that Dr. Paul Merrick's video will be up there. It's up there right now in Guests, and we'd urge you to share that. It's the same thing that we've been basically saying for a long, long time, but it's a new voice, and it's a nice, clear voice, and it's good to put that in front of people who are still interested in trying to learn. It's a tough call. Okay, let's go to the human side of the ledger here, which is not good. Okay, October 31st, shedding 4 or 5, where are we at?
Yeah, let's start with number 4.
All right, I will do number 4. Number 5 is quite long, and I like listening to Erica read. So this is a photo of someone who has blown her nose, whatever.
Maybe not blown, but just wiped it. Removed something from it.
I don't know what that item is in the hand. It's anyway, yes. Something has been wiped away from the nose somehow. Okay. That's the point of origin. And the person writes, "Sorry to be gross, but this came out of my nose. And it looks like these clots that embalmers are pulling out of people. I have been having intense ear and head pain lately, like my head is being microwaved." That's the end of the comment under this picture. And it looks very much like an amyloid clot.
And if you remember last year, after the clot shots were rolled out, there were many people that were having nosebleeds, and then some people were
pulling out very, very nosebleeds. Yeah.
Well, it was that and or these long clots. I mean, they could pull it, but you know, like a shoelace out of their nose.
They're
so
horrible.
I'm guessing
six, seven inches long. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This thing is not bloody, but it is white, like these clots that the embalmers are removing from deceased people. So she's a little bit alarmed to see this, and so a conversation ensued. And this is in the shedding group. Someone asks, "Are you vaccinated?" "Nope." "Do you live with vaccinated people?" "No, but my kids have to go and see their vaccinated father. They are not sick. And I got a divorce right before my ex-husband got vaccinated, so it's not from that." Someone else says, "Shedding is much worse when you live with a person. Do you work with the public? And I swear they are pumping things in the air at the department and grocery stores. They smell funny now." The original poster says, "Yes, I work in a bathhouse, but I take MMS every hour. It's a hot springs." Someone asks, "MMS?" And that's Miracle Mineral Supplement, also known as chlorine dioxide solution. So that's a liquid. It's basically an oxidant. It will oxidize pathogens. So there is a protocol out there that advocates, taking, usually I've only seen twice a day, morning and evening, a glass of water with this solution. And many people swear by it. The conversation continues. "The bathhouse is a constant human environment. That's not good for viruses and such." And it continues. I guess I should quit. Okay. Yeah. I guess I should quit. They were the only place that didn't make me muzzle up and take the jab. And another person says, "Well, definitely find something first, but the humidity is not your friend here, unfortunately." And original poster says, "Yeah, I'm going to miss those mineral baths." All right, on to number 7. Someone asks, "A constant human environment?" And original poster says, "Yes, but I wanted to conquer my fears and find a way to live with the vaxxed."
Oh, well, my.
A for effort.
Good luck.
And she concludes by saying, "Will you guys please do me a favor? I'm a single mom, and my kids need me here. Will you please pray for supernatural divine healing and protection over me and my children? Whatever just came out of me shook me."
Well, this woman works in a bathhouse with the public, shedding all manner of bodily fluids in the bathhouse waters, I would think.
Well, yeah, and you can imagine it is humid. The air doesn't move; it kind of hangs there.
Right. It's like a Christmas tree with little spike protein ornaments hanging all around.
Yeah, you know.
It's just sitting there. It's humid, it's hot, nothing much is going on, except you're in an environment that is not a good choice.
So I guess the takeaway in this story here is that it doesn't appear as though MMS, or chlorine dioxide solution, is sufficient in neutralizing the activity of the spike protein.
No.
It may be good for other things. I've speculated that possibly when people feel benefits from it, they're probably knocking down some pathogenic bacteria. It is a means of delivering oxygen, but I also hesitate because the spike is so inflammatory and is capable of generating oxidative stress on its own. Do we really want to be adding in more oxidants in a situation like that? I mean, part of the problem is people become depleted in their own endogenous antioxidants, which, you know, primarily glutathione, but also catalase and superoxide dismutase. So I'm not sure if an oxidant, even hydrogen peroxide, ozone, may not be the best thing in this situation. You might be better off looking for something that can bind to the spike and neutralize it that way. Just thoughts.
Yeah, lots of those. Okay, let's go back up to the top. So just to recap that, it was somebody who wiped her nose, and something came out of her nose that looked very much like about a 1-inch long, approximately, amyloid clot, stringy. Didn't look like anything you'd normally see come out of a nose. And it freaked her out. And she is a member of the shedding group, so she knows what she's generally dealing with here. Okay, back up to the top group, and where do you want to go?
I've got to get it in front of me.
We got smells, we got symptoms, we got blood draw stuff, we got a lot of stuff.
What haven't we done? Let's see. You pick
We've done guests, but let's go down and do...
Yeah, we had a couple we didn't.
Oh, okay.
That would be number... I think we had two left.
Yeah, number 11 and 12 we didn't do.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay, number...
So this was this was a conversation regarding how to handle house guests. People, that want to come and stay, and they're vaxxed, and you don't exactly want them in your house for a prolonged period of time, or if at all.
Right. All right, here's number 11, and... I didn't do... How long is 12? I didn't look.
Not as long as 11.
Okay. Well, we can split that. I don't... Whatever. All right, let me go about halfway down through 11. Hey, guys. I posted a week or so ago, says poster A, and then I guess there's a response here. I just had the same thing happen to me with my recently boosted in-laws. Boosted in-laws. Recently boosted in-laws. I knew we would get sick from the shedding, so we deliberately made sure we did not have an extra room for them to stay in, so they stayed at a hotel. We also tried to explain the shedding concern, and they just dismissed our feelings and threw a guilt trip that we didn't want to see them. Thankfully, they ended up being here for only 5 days, and we did everything outdoors, including eating, and only allowed them to come in briefly to see our new house. As for the hugging and kissing, we told them that we were coming down with something and didn't want to do that. Of course, they said they didn't care and hugged the kids anyway, which, of course, I was very upset about. Of course, I gave them the covered elbow bump and taught my kids to give an elbow or fist bump when they have runny noses or sneezing. To make a long story short, we have been detoxing and fighting multiple adverse symptoms ever since they left 2 weeks ago. My son and I are the most sensitive. headaches, body aches, itchy throat, nose, eyes. I feel like they have radiation poisoning. Go ahead.
The whole time they were here, they behaved like zombies, unable to have conversations unless it fit the MSM agenda, sort of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or like Stepford robots. Can I ask why they are visiting for 6 weeks? Is there any way you can afford to get them a one-bedroom VRBO to stay at? I know it might be expensive, but at least you can have some space and would be able to set some boundaries. Getting them a smaller place will limit them asking to have the kids stay the night, etc. Stay strong and set the boundaries. I would tell them you also need your space. 6 weeks is too long to have them with you. Everything I am seeing is that extended exposure can cause major issues for the unvaxxed. The new shot is definitely more toxic. Best of luck. You have the divine right to protect yourself and your children.
Don't forget that. You all have a divine right, if not duty, to protect yourself and therefore be there for your children. She must have just really been sick for 2 weeks, all of them. And they came in very, very briefly. But they grabbed the kids and hugged and kissed them anyway. So you're going to see that. You're going to see that. It's going to be common. Okay, go ahead with number 12.
I now have had this discussion about shedding, which they believe is totally BS, as the fact-checkers state. They have changed their flights now. They are not staying with us at all and have accommodations sorted. Instead of spending January and February with us, they are now going to Thailand, where they will stay with their brother, with her brother, who probably thinks we're crazy too, as he doesn't speak to us much now. So we will do outdoor activities. They didn't want to come if they couldn't hug or kiss. I do protect the family by taking a lot of stuff, which has been working. We are super clean with diet and spirit. I'll take a hug and hope that everything we are doing is helping us, which is so far has worked. But I will not have them in my living space, and they have accepted that for now. I'm totally in agreement about radiation shedding. That's exactly what I think it is, too. How were they with you after your experience? Did it cause a problem?
Okay, I think that's the end.
That's the end of that thread.
All right. Well, what do we learn from that? The obvious. You do have an absolute, if not obligation, you have the right to draw lines to protect yourselves and your family. And I hope you'll all take that seriously. And if you don't have good luck convincing your in-laws, relatives, and so forth to honor your request, you're just going to have to tough it out. This is not a joke. This is it's deadly serious. You've heard the whole family was sick, just a little bit of hugging for 2 weeks. Okay.
Incredible.
Smells. All right, let's do a smell reader here. Jabbed are all on the same frequency, so no mismatch is felt. Same goes for the unjabbed that spend time with the jabbed. They seem to assimilate to jabbed frequency. Also, the jabbers are all toxic. Seems like the more toxic you are, the more you think you feel fine. Whereas your body is actually very sick, but not able to give you good signals anymore. This goes for both jabbed and unjabbed. Once you clean up your body and spirit, you can start to recognize warning messages again about toxicity. Next person says, yep, chemical, almost medical, with putrid undersmell. This one jabber smell is so strong, it burns the nose and throat. It's death. It's the cells dying, writes another. Inside people, you can smell it oozing out of them. And another one, the first person, answers back, jabbers/testers to me emit a metallic smell or a paper sort of smell, which causes a tickle in the throat or a cough or a sneeze response. Go ahead.
Okay.
Number two.
You know, I volunteered to help at a rummage sale and brought home some really nice clothes. Since the room smelled where I was helping out, I couldn't tell if it was the clothes that smelled. But when I got home, phew, they smelled. Washed and dried them, and the smell was still there. So I gave them to Goodwill. I'm done with secondhand clothes, unless they are from someone I know who is not jabbed. The smell is just too much.
That's wild. They washed and dried them, and they still smelled.
Yeah.
How interesting. Somebody writes in and says, you could try borax. I now use a little bit of borax in every single load of laundry. My husband has come home smelling of that smell when he's been at work, and it lingers on his clothes. But when I wash and then use borax, the smell is gone. Okay, and the last one, a really strong fabric softener smell with a twist. Maybe ammonia? People are guessing at the how to describe the smells. It's very difficult. There seem to be, what, two, three, four kind of baskets that people put these smells into?
Yeah, I think, you know, the most pleasant one would be just an overwhelming laundry detergent, dryer sheet smell, or cologne or something. And but then I think as time goes on, you know, there's putrescence that becomes a part of it.
And we're not kidding. We really do believe that the evidence points to just that. Cellular death throughout the body and bacterial action on the dead material, which is emitting molecular odor.
Well, and also the liver sometimes gets blocked. There was a name for that. I'm drawing a blank. So you've got, you know, probably fumes coming from the intestines, let's put it that way. And then the smell of lipid peroxidation is also distinct, which I imagine would be the metal with sulfur type smell. I mean, the metal being iron, you know, it's the iron that's oxidizing your lipids.
And feeding the bacteria, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if people who are emitting odors are doing so all the time or just part of the time. In a putrescence case, I would suggest it's all the time. But we don't know for sure. If someone starts to smell of cologne, we'll say, do they smell of cologne all the time? Don't know. There's so many things going on in the body, physiologically and biochemically. We just don't know.
Yeah.
But the putrescence issue, yeah. And then if you have bacteria working on dead cells, dead lipid material, that would indicate that the iron is at work. Feeding the bacteria.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the cells, the iron becomes trapped. You have iron trapping inside the cells, and it's basically frying all the cell membranes, which are composed largely of lipids, and then you will get a distinct smell from that.
Burned fat.
Yeah, yeah. Aldehydes, yeah.
No joke. All right, anything you want to add? This has been a really very full hour again, and hopefully helpful to at least some of you out there.
No, I think that should do it.
All right. Okay, good night, Miss Erica. Talk soon.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with hour number three in just a few minutes. Hold on.